The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
He didn't just pinch it. He grabbed it. In the continuing saga of Roy Moore, that's the new allegation from another woman accusing the Senate hopeful Roy Moore of sexual misconduct. In the first accusation that happened after Moore was already married, Tina Johnson claims that Moore grabbed her behind when he was at his office, when she was at his office seeking help with child custody in 1991. Tina Johnson wasn't the only person to come forward yesterday with new accusations against Moore. 22 years prior, Gina Richardson called a 30-year-old Moore regularly, recalled a Moore who was 30 years old. He was stalking her at the mall that she worked at. Gina recounts that Moore would often come by her section of Sears and talk to her. This is just not painting a good picture of this 30-year-old DA hanging out at Sears talking to one of the sales assistants. On more than one occasion, he asked the 18-year-old out. She would usually tell him no and that her dad was a pastor and very strict. But according to Gina, Moore wouldn't take no for an answer. She was in trig class at her high school when she was summoned to the principal's office over the intercom in her classroom. She had a phone call. Apparently, it was Roy Moore, and he had called the high school to ask her out on a date again. She eventually said yes, and they went to a movie theater at the mall where she worked. It was a normal date until Moore drove Gina to her car, and after the movie, he forcefully kissed her. After that, she never wanted to see him again. Moore's campaign responded to the new allegations with this statement, quote, "If you are a liberal and hate Judge Moore, apparently he groped you. If you're a conservative and love Judge Moore, you know those allegations are a political farce," end quote. What's true? What's not? What's political cannon fodder, and what's real emotional and physical trauma that has been hidden away for so long? These women should be believed at face value. They should be taken seriously, her accusations at face value. They should be looked into. As for Roy Moore, whether these allegations are true or not, he needs to understand that his campaign now is in a death spiral, and the best thing that he can do is get out.
It's Thursday, November 16th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, Stu just said to me, you know he's going to end up winning. I think he's going to.
He probably will.
I think he will. I think the people of Alabama, I mean, think of this. This is the reason why, one of the reasons why our founders made sure in the Constitution that all of the senators were picked by the people in their state. And each senator was picked by the state legislature. So we reversed that. With progressives, we reversed that. Why? To make every Senate campaign a national election. Well, that's not what it was for. They were to make sure that they defended the state. It's changed everything. But also, it has involved all of us in something that we have nothing to do with it. I can sit here in Texas. You can sit in Utah or California or New York, and we can all talk about this all day long. It doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what the people of Alabama think. And I think the people of I just have this feeling that remember how the Democrats dumped all of that money into the Georgia election?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they dumped it all in and they were like, this is going to be a big deal and everything. And what happened? The local people were like, you know what? Screw all you people.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't come into our town and tell us what to do. I think that might happen in Alabama.
Yeah. Sean Trendy is an elections analyst, and we've had him on before, a really smart guy over at Real Clear Politics. And he said this, tell me this isn't exactly what's happening, not only now, but in past elections as well. And I think it's a really understandable response. He says, I don't think you can underestimate the degree to which many conservatives have this attitude. A, we fought a battle over whether character counts and we got our asses handed to us. And B, liberal leaders always circle the wagons around their guys and ours always cave.
Yep.
Both of those things, I think, individually are true. But to me, it adds up to something that we should try to resist.
Yes.
An instinct we should try to fight against.
We don't want to be them. Otherwise, you have no credibility. They don't have any credibility with us. They can't ever make any inroads with us because they have no credibility. You can't talk to me about, oh, how much you care about women, Hollywood, when you're defending all of these monsters and hiding them. You can't do it. You can't preach to me about ethics and how women are, you know, have powerful males over them. And even if it's consensual, it's not really consensual. And then defend Bill Clinton. You can't do it. But they do. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that. I don't want to defend people who are doing things that, you know, are slimy. I don't want to be that person.
And I think the battle there is people will say, well, look what that gets you. It means you lose. And I, you know, if that's what it gets me, that's what it gets me. You know, I want to win elections. I want to. Yes, that's all true. But I'm not going to pay any price to win elections.
Let me ask you this. That's what it gets you. Okay. If we don't stand by our principles, if we don't stand by and say, no, I don't care if this guy can win, he's got to have principles. Where does that get you? First of all, we have no credibility. We now, as Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, thank God, but now the Republicans, and I'm afraid too many churchgoers and too many religious people and just blanket conservatives now have lost all credibility to be able to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. Morally, this is wrong. What are we teaching our children? You can't say that anymore. You not only have lost that, but you also have, let's talk about taxes. We're for small government, right? Did we get that? Are we getting a giant tax cut? No, because the guy who we elected doesn't really believe in that stuff. He's not a champion of that stuff. He just wins. Well, he'll take a win, but it's not really a win. Not for conservatives, not for small government, not for low tax people. That's not a win. How about give me the audio of the guy from the Pentagon? This is the new guy representing the DOD.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is the Trump nominee for the DOD.
Okay, so here's the guy that Trump is putting in at the DOD. Now he's talking about guns. This is our champion. Listen.
I'd also like to, and I may get in trouble with other members of the committee, just say, you know, how insane it is that in the United States of America, a civilian can go out and buy a semi-automatic assault rifle like an AR-15, which apparently was the weapon that was used. Huh? I think that's an issue not as much for this committee, but elsewhere.
What?
Wait.
This is the guy that Trump is appointing? What? That's not good. And if you don't think that we are not entering a time where there is massacre after massacre, and instead of going after one, the laws that have loopholes and closing all of those loopholes, two, making sure that the law is actually enforced every time, three, we go and examine mental health in this country. And four, we look at domestic violence. That's what's happening in our country. Now, we're doing the same thing with guns that we are doing now with radicalized Islam. We are looking for any other reason other than their religious belief. We're looking for, what did we do? What can we do? Maybe we should have grandma go through an anal cavity search at the airport. Instead of actually saying, no, it is the religious belief of these crazy people that believe they have a right to enslave people that don't agree with them and kill people that they deem infidels. That's the problem. But we're looking at every other place, and we're going to do the same thing with guns. A battle is coming, and I'm telling you, if Donald Trump can appoint that guy in the Department of Defense, he thinks that's okay to have a guy who says, semi-automatics? I mean, how can you possibly have a semi-automatic?
It's insane that a regular person could go buy. How can we let regulars go into stores and buy things like that?
What is that? What is that? So, did you really win? Because you've lost all credibility. All credibility. You can no longer say we have the high moral ground. We're America in the Middle East. That's what conservatives are now. We are America in the Middle East. We talk a good game, but we don't actually stand for anything. When we get in, our guys, we'll just accept everything.
And look, there are costs to some of these things. Sometimes standing on these values does have cost. You could lose elections. And you know, there's a very defensible position with Roy Moore is if you don't believe these people. If you go through this and you say, I don't believe any of them, and here's my reasons why, that's a defensible position. If you believe them, but I just want to win, that's not a defensible position to me. But I mean, why don't you make your own decisions? I think if you look at it, though, we talked to Johnny Moore yesterday. You brought up the Middle East. Talk about Johnny Moore yesterday. Look at what people will sacrifice for their principles around the world. He told the story about a family who had a letter sent to him by a terrorist that basically threatened their lives.
It didn't basically said, we will behead you unless you convert.
And they wrote back.
Oh, sorry, crucify you.
Crucify you. Wrote back to the terrorist. Now, why? I can't imagine wanting to respond to that mail. And said, you know what? We're never going to convert. And actually, you can come kill us, but please don't kill us through crucifixion, because we're not worthy of that punishment, because that's really about Jesus, and it's a little bit above us. So please don't kill us that way, but kill us anyway you need to. Come on over whenever you need to, because they were so dedicated to their faith, they were willing to give up that cost. And we're like, I don't know, an Alabama Senate seat, I can't. It's too much. It's too much.
When emergencies happen, we all pray for somebody, and we all try to go help them, we hope it never happens to us. We hope that never we find ourselves in that situation. But do we prepare? More and more Americans are getting prepared and preparing for emergencies because they've seen what has been going on lately, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, things are about to change. We have Harvey Dent on in just a little while, or Harry Dent. Harvey Dent, I think, is Two-Face from Batman, isn't he?
You're right.
So that'd be quite an interview.
We've got him, but, too.
We have him on. He is a guy who has predicted pretty much everything that's happening with the economy. And he says there's some big warning signs that you need to know about. He says we're at zero hour. And we'll talk to him coming up. But things change quickly. So if you want to be prepared for no matter what it is, you can start right now an easy way with My Patriot Supply. 102 servings of survival food for only $99. It's a kit that you can get, and you're pretty much done for your 72 hours with that, for your whole family. It's $100. Are you kidding me? Call 800-271-63 or order online with preparewithglenn.com. Preparewithglenn.com. I will tell you, when I first started doing food storage, you know, we had to figure it all out on, like, okay, so how much wheat would you need and how much flour would you? It's easy now. It's easy. My Patriot Supply, 102 servings of survival food that is really, really good. Less than a dollar per serving. Preparewithglenn.com. Do it now. 1-800-271-63.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So let's go through some audio yesterday First of all, Gloria Allred. Now, she has produced this yearbook. It's easy. We could solve this. The yearbook thing is one of the worst claims. And Roy Moore is, you know, is said to have signed this girl's yearbook. You know, Hickory House, he says he never did it. And so he said, I want a neutral party to analyze the handwriting because that's not me. I didn't do it. So here's Don Lemon. Don Lemon from CNN pushing her because he says this isn't there's something that doesn't make sense to me. Now, listen to Gloria Allred. This is on CNN, a scattered shower of journalism here from Don Lemon. Listen.
Listen, I'm not a lawyer here. Are you trying to compel him to do that because you want to get him on the record and you want to be able to depose him? What's your end game here? Why?
Well, of course. There is no legal process except the one I am proposing, which is essentially a political process combined with a legal process.
Say if he presided over her divorce case, Gloria?
Well, I'm saying we're not going to put out breadcrumbs of pieces of evidence. We have evidence that we have not
revealed
to the press, and we're not going to reveal it.
Okay.
Breadcrumb by breadcrumb, we will be happy to answer all questions and provide all evidence at the hearing if there is one. We think that's the way to do it.
Okay, so then what about the signature? Roy Moore's attorney denies Moore ever wrote in Beverly's yearbook. Can you say definitively that this is his signature?
I think what they wanted was a handwriting expert to examine it, and we are willing, if there is a hearing that is conducted by the Senate, to allow an independent expert to examine the signature in the yearbook. And in addition, of course, that handwriting expert would then compare it to exemplars of Mr. Moore's handwriting signature at the time that he signed the yearbook.
So you can't say definitively that it's his signature.
Well, I'm saying that.
How many times are we going to hit the snooze alarm here?
We accept that challenge.
Okay, stop. This is just bullcrap. This is just absolute bullcrap.
I think she's trying to make it look like she has more evidence than she does. I can't tell you now, but we'll in the future, wow, it's going to come out.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's just. I think you have to dismiss the. You know, the attempted rape allegation, which is the worst. Well, no, it's not the worst one. It's one of the worst ones. The other one is the 14-year-old. This one is the, you know, he tried to rape me in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because Gloria Allred is involved, I just have to dismiss it. Because that sounds, even CNN is like, wait a minute, Gloria, why not just give the book?
Yeah, two things on this. Number one, there's a totally plausible end to this story. That Roy Moore did all of these things with all of these accusers, except the one that went to Gloria Allred, right? Like, if I can't even think of what the motivation would be of if you're trying to really do this and you really have a legitimate accusation, that you'd go to her. She has zero credibility. And if you want people in Alabama to believe you, you go to Gloria Allred.
Yeah,
it makes no sense at all.
And makes no sense.
And in addition to that, while I you know how I feel about this, we've talked about this a lot I tend to believe many of these accusers seem to be credible. But when you look at this particular case, the yearbook signature starts in cursive and ends in printing, okay, which is strange. It does, you know, they pointed out the sevens look different. They're trying to make this all about the yearbook, and it's not all about the yearbook. You don't need the yearbook. You don't need this accuser at all to not vote for Roy Moore if you think the other ones are he's guilty of those. So to make that perfectly clear. But in my life, I have never seen a dude write an E like the ones that are in that signature.
See, I looked at the bubble writing too.
Bubble writing. Yeah, it's like a 14-year-old girl would write it like that. There is even a 14-year-old boy, I have never seen write a printed E the way the E's are in that old Hickory House.
Yeah, I would agree that the bubble writing set me off on that.
Just doesn't look like. Yeah. I mean, even
could be, but
it doesn't look like the other words.
So here's
in the
other
signature,
problem.
But B, it doesn't look like anything I've
ever
seen.
Here's the other
write.
Problem. Including the 14-year-old girl. It's the only one where it's violent and where it's threatening. Everything else, including the 14-year-old girl, when they say no, he stops and takes them home.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't fit the pattern.
Yeah. Now, there were three new accusers overnight, and that pattern doesn't quite fit with all of them. But
and I want to talk about the three accusers because it's really interesting what's happening here.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah. So why does this Roy Moore thing matter? One, the Republicans can't get anything passed with 52. They certainly can't get anything passed with 51 senators in the Senate. So it means something politically. But it also we also have to navigate these waters, I believe, carefully. We have to actually have a non-political conversation about each of these cases and how what is our reaction to them. So our reaction to this, if you're unless you're in Alabama, why does this matter to you? Because you can't vote. So it matters because of the 51 as opposed to 52 senators. But other than that, why does it matter? I think it matters because we have to decide what is acceptable and what is not. We also have to be a part of this process and not let just let it unfold in front of us on due process. Because, you know, I think that there is a there's a good case to be made that this is what, you know, prophecy predicted when there will be no secrets. The secrets will be shouted from the rooftop. There are no secrets anymore. You can't keep a secret. It's out. So now that all of the skeletons are going to come out of everybody's closet, and we know that there are people that would like to put skeletons in other people's closets, what do we do? How do we figure this out? How do we navigate this world? How do we judge what's right and wrong? First of all, we have to be able to see something that is illegal. That's the first thing. Is it illegal? Is this actual harassment? So that requires you to do a couple of things. One, is it illegal? Was there force involved? Was he going after a 14-year-old? To me, this really comes down to the 14-year-old. Do you believe the story of the 14-year-old? The Gloria Allred story, I don't buy, only because Gloria Allred is involved. And her appearance on CNN last night was just, even CNN was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? So I don't buy the Gloria Allred story. If you look, take the 14-year-old out. If you look at everything that was being said yesterday, you had three other people come out?
Yeah, three in the last 24 hours.
Okay, so the first one was the girl that worked at Sears, and she said that Roy, who was in his 30s then, would visit Sears, and that he called her at school to ask her out. And they went out, they went to a movie, and he kissed her forcefully. She said, I don't want to see you anymore, and he never contacted her again. Okay, the next one is from Phyllis Smith. She says she was 18 when she began working at Brooks, a clothing store geared toward young women. Teenage girls were counseling each other. Make yourself scarce when Roy is in here. He's just here to bother you. Don't pay attention and he'll go away. She said he was often in there and he wasn't interested in buying anything. He was looking for a date. I can remember him walking in and the whole mood would change with us girls. It would be like we were on guard. I'd find something else to do. I remember being creeped out. They would tell new hires, watch out for this guy. If somebody had bounced checks, which meant you had to go to the district attorney's office where Moore worked, she said the managers would draw straws to decide who would have to go to talk to him about the cases. Okay, so that just shows that he was interested in young girls. The 18 the 17 and the 16-year-old girls all said they dated, never went past kissing. And it was, you know, when they said no, it was no. So this goes to try to apply the 1970s culture. This goes to a culture in Alabama, I think, that was very different. We may not like it. I was just down in Mexico, and I'm sorry, but Mexico has a culture that glorifies 12, 13, 14-year-old girls. And guys think it's okay to date and marry, you know, a 13-year-old girl. No, that's not cool. That is just not cool.
It's still illegal here, too.
Yeah.
To marry 12 and 13-year-old girls. It happens to a couple of 100,000 girls every year.
Right. So I'm not saying that this is the culture now in Alabama. I don't know. I don't think it is. But I believe it was the culture then in much of the South in the 60s and prior to that and the 70s. I don't think that there was a real surprise that somebody wanted to date a 16-year-old. I don't think that was out of the norm back then. It creeps me out. I don't like it. But you have to decide, okay, if it's that, and he didn't force himself on people, he was just interested at 30 and 16, 17, 18-year-olds, well, okay, what does that mean? Am I comfortable with him? The 14-year-old, he broke the law, if that happened. I dismiss the Gloria Allred stuff just because of her interview last night.
And it does seem out of character to all the other stories.
All the other stories. The other stories.
Again, who knows if it's true or not, but I mean, it's very difficult to take something Gloria Allred is behind as serious.
But then you take, if you're not going to believe, if you don't take Gloria Allred seriously, then let's go to Roy Moore's attorney last night. Mm. This is Roy Moore's attorney talking about the 14-year-old girl. Now listen to this.
Why would he need permission from any of these girls' mothers if they weren't underage?
Sure, that's
Stop
a good
for
question.
A second.
Culturally speaking, obviously there's...
Stop for a second. Here's the answer. Because he's raised in the South to where you go and you ask a mother's permission. Wouldn't you, if it was a 30-year-old man and your daughter was 17, wouldn't you appreciate a man who comes to the house and says, I would like permission to date your daughter?
You'd probably think he's less creepy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, I...
The answer is, because he's not denying the 16, 17, 18-year-old.
Nope.
The answer is, because he was a gentleman and he asked, as creepy as you might think it is, back in the day... He believed that it was respectful to ask the parents permission to date because he was 30.
And to be clear, you don't think that's...
I don't think so.
It's a gentleman.
No. I don't.
Right, but that's his argument, right?
That's how you answer it. Listen how... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, because I think it's important, too, to point out that they weren't underage.
No, they were.
This may be very creepy to you. You may not like the culture. There is a age of consent, and every other story, all of them, except for the 14-year-old, even the Gloria Allred woman, all of them were on the what he would say, the okay side of the age of consent.
Yeah, I don't say that.
I don't say that either, yeah. But it's especially for someone who's 32 years old.
Yeah, imagine a 16-year-old and a 30-year-old comes to ask you permission to date your daughter. You would say, I would grab my gun. Get the hell off of my property and don't you ever talk to my daughter again.
Right. But if you think it's this offensive, which, you know, many people obviously do, you need to change that law. Right. Like there is a law there that we say, OK, nobody crosses this line.
Right.
No.
Right.
OK.
Right.
So you make the law has not changed since the 70s. It was 16 then. It is 16 now. So the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, you can say is creepy, I think, very honestly, especially for a 32-year-old dude.
Yes.
However, I think in addition to that, you can also say that it is not worth litigating this. In 2017, if all the accusations were was that he dated people above the age of consent and kissed them and never went past kissing, which is what their allegations are, it's not even worth bringing up. It's not even
correct.
A news story.
I'm going to give you the ultimate proof that what Stu said is where everyone in the media usually stands. The ultimate proof.
Okay.
In just a second.
Oh, wow.
But first, here's how not to answer that question because he's tying in the 14-year-old girl. Listen to this.
Sure, that's a good question. And culturally speaking, obviously there's differences. I looked up Allie's background there. Wow, that's awesome that you have got such a diverse background. It's really cool to read through that. But point is this.
What does Allie's background have to do with dating a 14-year-old?
I'm not finished with the context of it.
Well, please answer. What does Allie Velshi's background have to do with dating under children, 14-year-old girls?
Sure. In other countries, there's arrangement through parents for what we would refer
Allie's
to as
from Canada.
Consensual marriage.
Allie's from Canada.
And Allie's also spent time in other countries,
so
of which
I.
I've gone to. So it's not a bad thing.
I don't know where you're going with this.
So where is he going with that, Stu?
He's trying to say in other countries there are arranged marriages, and you look like you're from
one of those countries.
Yeah, right.
He's throwing race into it now. He's like, well, I don't know, maybe she's from one of those Muslim countries. Maybe she's, you know, from South America where, you know, where they just marry you off at 8.
Which is a completely nonsensical thing to bring into that conversation. It's just like trying to...
First of all, why are you justifying that one when you say that didn't happen? I mean, it's,
exactly.
It's the worst attorney in the world. But Stu brought up the point. Is it worth your time, as long as a crime wasn't committed, is it even worth your time for 30 and 40-year-old accusations? Or would the media just want it to go away? Oh. Unfortunately, there's now digital archives of the media, so we can go back and show you the ultimate proof. They just think it's best that these things just go away. In a minute. Shopping online has its pluses, but it also comes with its risks. With the holiday fast approaching, we have some tips for you. First, always use a secure internet connection. Do not do it in a hotspot. Those are vulnerable. Shop on sites that have secure payment methods, credit cards, gift cards. Create a very strong password for yourself and be wary of deals that are too good to be true and avoid the phony shopping apps. The most important thing you can do is before you start to shop at all, make sure you have LifeLock. Identity fraud cost Americans $16 billion in 2016 alone. $16 billion. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect a wide range of identity thefts. They'll detect that if your information has been compromised at all, they will send you an alert. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but that's not what they should be doing anyway. They should be looking to see if your information is being used, if your identity has been compromised, because... You do a transaction? Great. Now, what happens? Has your identity been taken to open up a fraudulent bank account or to do something illegal that you have nothing to do with? Go to LifeLock.com. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BACK. That's the way you get 10% off your LifeLock membership. LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BACK. Do this before you do any holiday shopping. LifeLock.com. Promo code BACK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
All right, so I want to state the case that it's okay if you say I don't believe these accusers and I'm going to vote for Roy Moore. I really don't believe them. You could say I kind of believe them, but it was 30 years ago, so it doesn't really matter, and vote for Roy Moore. But the only way you can really be consistent is if you said that during the Clinton years. Because remember, those were old, too. Those were 20 years old. Does it matter? Why didn't they come out then? If it was so bad, why didn't they come out that? Well, because he was, you know, the attorney general, and then he was the governor. He had a lot of power. It's almost the same story. He was the attorney general, and then he became a senator and a judge. So who's going to believe you over him? So were you consistent? Now, the media. The media is saying this is really important. We have to know what happened 30 years ago. Was that where they stood at the time? Listen to Dan Rather at the time on Don Imus.
And this, even this Juanita Broderick thing that interview that the people over there at NBC News have been sitting on for some reason, who knows? But
well, I think the reason is pretty obvious that they don't call me and tell me why they run or don't run these things. I think it's pretty obvious they're nervous about, number one, whether this information is accurate, whether it's really true or not. And then, number two, even if it does, it turned out to be true, that it happened a long time ago. And number three,
what?
They got to be figuring maybe the American public has heard all they want to hear about this. What? And saying, you know, next, let's move on to the next thing.
What?
I was reading either in Time or Newsweek that even the woman herself, Juanita Broderick, said she hoped that this thing went away this week. And she, even she was sick of hearing about it. It's her story. But,
well, let's hope she gets her way within.
But then somebody from NBC News told me that she wasn't clear about exactly when it happened, but then her son called me, and he's an attorney someplace, and I guess in Arkansas, and he wanted me to know why he called me, God knows, but wanted me to know that that was not the case. She knew exactly when it was, and there was some other reason he thought they were sitting on it.
Well, you know, I know Newsweek magazine has accused me and others of sucking up to you, so here we go. The reason he called you is you're the fastest way in the country to get the news out on something like that. But I just don't know whether this is going anywhere. You know, I'd have to bet for the moment it probably isn't. The Washington Post gave it a pretty good ride on Saturday, and there wasn't much pickup from it. So unless there's some new and sensational information developed out of it, my guess is this probably dribbles away. But as you know better than most, I mean, I've been so wrong about this story from the very beginning.
And others.
Where it might go and how big it might get.
So that's Dan Rather back then. That the story really doesn't have any legs because it was a long time ago and we all just hope that it goes away. Where are they now? That was an actual rape allegation. Where are you today?
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
We all know kids are messy, right? But messy is only half the story. Your kids are destroying the planet. True. According to NBC News, yesterday, NBC News posted a story, a think piece, if you will. Science proves kids are bad for Earth. What? Morality suggests we stop having them. Hold on. The author says we need to stop pretending that kids don't have environmental and ethical consequences. Oh, man. As a father of four, I agree. You bring a newborn into your house and they are going to mess with your environment in a big way. I mean, the noise alone. Have you ever tried to sleep? Totally wrecks the home environment. And the ethical consequences? Baby wakes you up in the middle of the night. Do you pretend to stay asleep and hope your spouse deals with it? What about this one? Baby needs a diaper change. Do you pretend not to notice the really bad smell in the environment until another family member takes care of it and then just play dumb? See, these are the ethical dilemmas with children. But I don't think that that's the kind that NBC was talking about. This author at NBC was talking about, and I'm bending over backward to find any common ground here because this is so absurd. The author says that having a child is a major contributor to climate change. And even better, having a child is one of the worst things you can do for the planet and the environment. I know because they move rocks and they sometimes throw the rocks to places where the planet didn't put them. It's really irritating. The left ridicules people on the right for not taking climate change seriously. Here's a helpful hint. A lot of times it's because of people and articles like this. The author seems really sincere. He's a research scholar at the Berman Institute of Bioethics. But all over the world right now, children are starving to death. They're ravaged by disease. They're sold into slavery. And yet the premise of this article is it's morally wrong to have children because they leave too big of a carbon footprint. No, actually, it's morally wrong to have children and not take care of them. So until we get that problem solved, you might want to rethink your understanding of moral responsibility, egghead. Perspective and priorities. Two things that the left in particular, but I think all of us, are really having some struggling times with.
It's Thursday, November 16th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I've got somebody that's going to scare the hell out of you.
Wow, I can't wait.
Yeah. Because kids will mess with the environment. Actually, we're looking at priorities. Harry Dent is the author of a new book, Zero Hour, which I have read, and it will it'll scare the hell out of you. Scare the hell out of you, because it's got a lot of charts and graphs and everything else. Harry has been on with us for many times. He is a guy who predicted the 2008 struggle and what we're going through right now. This is a book on how to turn the greatest political and financial upheaval in modern history to your advantage. Harry Dent Jr. is with us now. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Oh, hi, Glenn. Good to be back.
So, Harry, I know you got a lot of charts and graphs, but I have a lot of questions that I think you're going to be able to actually answer for me. There is a story that I saw on Business Insider and a couple of other places today that the stocks are flashing ominous signals not seen since the financial crisis. And one of them is the... Stu, help me out. The Hindenburg omen, and the other is the Titanic syndrome. A, do you find any credibility in either of those, and what do they mean if you do?
Yeah, the Hindenburg, yeah, I do track that, and there have been many, many signals on that, much more than usual. That is not a guarantee of a crash. The more important thing I've been looking for, Glenn, because, you know, I've been talking about this bubble, it's going to burst at some point. It's going to burst violently when it does. It's the only way it happens in history. The Dow transports are tanking while the Dow industrials keep edging up. That is a big divergence. And the small
What does that mean to the average person? Explain that.
Well, it means, okay, if the industrials are going up, it means, okay, we're still producing stuff, but the transport's not going up. Says, yeah, but we're not distributing them. People aren't buying it. And when the small caps go down, in which they've done recently, they're down 4-5% with the Dow up, it says, hey, the smart money who buys small caps because it takes more sophistication, they're getting out of the market while the everyday person, which buys Apple and GE and all the big names because that's what they know, they're piling in. So those are the two divergences I've been looking for. They are starting to show warning signals, and I take that more seriously than the Hindenburg, because the Hindenburg can happen a lot and you're still not going to crash, although it's a sign that it's more likely. This is the biggest thing I look for. And this is starting to happen. I think we're in a topping process between October and December or January. And I think the thing, Glenn, that I warn people, because everybody says, well, Harry, if this thing's going to burst, I'll just wait until there's signs and when my stockbroker tells me to get out. First of all, your stockbroker will never tell you to get out.
Yeah.
When bubbles crash, the first crash, and I've averaged every major bubble in the last century, the first crash tends to be 41% in 2.5 months, so it's too late when that happens. So, yeah, you're better to get out a little early and be cautious. So I think these warning signs are saying that we're getting close. If you look at the charts, I mean, this is just like, you know, what we said in November, as soon as Trump got elected against the odds. And of course, we were warning that was likely because of this populist movement we were seeing happen. We said, hey, we're going to have another 20-25% rally, even though I'd been cautious about stocks. I said, no, this market says it is going up. It is expecting a big tax cut. But we've seen that rally. And it has been 20-25% since then. So I think this is, we're getting very near a top. And when this thing goes, and people say, oh, governments won't let this happen. Governments create the damn bubbles. You know, they created the Roaring Twenties bubble and then the Great Depression came. The Fed was created in 1913. And then 20 to 30 years later, you get the Roaring Twenties and the greatest depression of all time because they goosed up the economy artificially by cutting rates, making money cheap, free money, always creates bubbles. Well, that's what they've done here. So for somebody to say, oh, the central bank, the Federal Reserve won't let this market crack, they're the ones that have created this extreme thing, stretched the market so far. And when they go, it's like a rubber band. It's going to be extreme. I'm just telling people, I didn't create this darn bubble. Get out of the way.
Okay, so Harry, I've been warning about this for a long time. I thought we were not as resilient as we are. I expected this thing to come crashing down just because of the money printing and the extraordinary levels of debt, which not just the government debt, but the debt that we have as Americans. Our credit card debt is what, $119 billion, and we're starting to default on those, and people have jobs now. I expected this to go a lot earlier. Why do you think it's this time?
Well, you know, it's hard to argue with $14 trillion of free money being created. It's hard to argue with mortgage rates that are 4% when they ought to be 6%, and car loans, you know, are 2-3% and they ought to be 6-7%. I mean, everybody's getting a free lunch here, and stocks are going up, you know, 20% a year instead of the normal 7% adjusted for inflation. And you know, everybody's getting a free lunch. You know, housing's going up 10% instead of the 3% inflation. So everybody's getting a free lunch, and it makes everybody kind of high. I don't know a better way to say it. And people don't want to hear the bubble's going to burst. I get lambasted all the time, and I'm like, look, I'm just the messenger. I've studied history. Bubbles build. They're totally recognizable. I have a whole bubble model that tells you how it's going to build, how much it's going to crash, how long it's going to take to crash. There's nothing black swan about these bubbles at all. It shouldn't be a surprise. People go into denial because they don't want it to end because everybody's getting something for nothing. So governments don't want it to end.
You put up the reason why your book, I think, is accurate on at least diagnosing the problems is you have several chapters on revolution, and the world is going into revolution. Most people are not, they're absolutely denying what is happening. Even the Trump thing was a revolution, and it has just begun. It's only going to get worse. Give me the highlights of your take on what's happening globally.
Well, you know, I've been talking about for a long time. Yeah. We're going to have a crisis financially just because we got bubbles and debt bubbles, and these things are totally predictable. But I've also been saying we have a 250-year revolution coming. The biggest thing to happen in all of modern history was when Sally met Harry. Free market capitalism met democracy in the late 1700s. I mean, that's the biggest thing that's happened ever. And this is going to happen again. And the reason I push this book, and this book focuses more on the political side of what I'm talking about, is because I've been waiting for signs, and it was Brexit, and it was the surprise Trump election that told me, okay, the political side of this is starting to happen, and this is going to take decades. We've got a backlash against globalization. Special interests have totally taken over democracy. Central banks have totally taken over free markets. We're destroying the golden goose that made us rich in the first place since the late 1700s, and all of modern progress has come since those two things came together. This is going to be that big or bigger. And this is going to go down in history, and people aren't going to realize it till later. We're telling you now, this is going to happen. It's going to be unsettling. It's going to change a lot of things. We're going to, you know, we really need a bottoms up economy, get out of all this top down management and all this social and financial engineering where economists try to create la-la land with 3-4% growth and 2% inflation, which is the worst thing you could do for the economy. You have no innovation when that happens. Japan's had no innovation for 30 years, no growth for 30 years, because they've been living off of quantitative easing.
But Harry, we know, you and I know that. A lot of this audience knows that. But that is not where the world is headed. They are, trust me, even Donald Trump, we go through a Great Depression, and Donald Trump will be FDR. He will. He will not cut it back. He will become the great state that will take care of everyone. And if he won't do it, there will be somebody there to promise it. Socialism is popular now.
It is, and we've been living on more than that for now 9 years with all this quantitative easing and free money. The problem, Glenn, is this. Governments created this. Central banks created this bubble, extended it, took it to extremes, and when it burst, it is going to be out of control. It's going to be impossible to stop, and they're going to lose credibility. My theory is that central banks, of course, they're going to want to do 10 times the quantitative easing. It's just people are going to say, hey, you already did that and it failed. Why would we believe you this time? I think governments are going to lose credibility. I think central banks are going to lose credibility. And that's a good thing. That's the revolution. When people say, cut off their heads, we don't want any more of this baloney.
We're going to get into he says there's six triggers and then there's some safe havens for you. We'll get into that here in just a second. Harry Dent Jr. The name of the book is Zero Hour. So Liberty Safe is having a sale for the holidays. We've been talking to you about Liberty Safe and their 12 months interest-free financing. But right now, Liberty Safe is offering 18 months interest-free on all safes over $850. They're putting on sale all Fatboy safes, including the Extreme models, saving you an additional $550. I have a Liberty Safe. I have the Lincoln, and it is a great safe. They make great products, very reliable. They're made here in America. They have a lifetime warranty, dealers who deliver, and now 18 months interest-free payments or as low as $20 a month on approved credit. These are the best deals that I have seen come from Liberty Safe in 7 years. If you need a safe, buy the number one safe on the planet, best built safe on the planet, bar none. It is a Liberty Safe. LibertySafe.com. Plus, Cabela's also has their Liberty Safes on sale for Black Friday. So go to Cabela's and grab it there or LibertySafe.com. LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. Harry Dent is a favorite of the program and a guy who really gets it and has put his own words into action in his own life. He believes what he is talking about, and his new book is Zero Hour. He's talking about financial upheaval, the greatest political and financial upheaval in modern history, and how you can take advantage of it and survive this. You say that there are six bubble busters, and I've only got about 4 or 5 minutes here, Harry. So if you want to go through any of these, or would you rather talk about the safe havens, the places that things that people should do?
Well, first thing is you've got to get out of the bubble. Everything goes down when bubbles burst. The only things that do well are things like the reserve currency of the world, which is the U.S. dollar, which went up 27% when everything crashed in 2008, real estate, commodities, stocks around the world, everything, and the high-quality bonds. And the Great Depression, which is the winter season we're going through, the 30-year treasury bonds of the government and AAA corporate bonds more than doubled in value while everything else crashed. So that's number one, safe haven.
Okay, Hold on just a second. If you buy Apple and you buy Google, you buy these big, huge companies, and you have everything locked in there. Are you not safe there?
You are definitely not safe. You know what the great companies were in 1929? General Motors and General Electric, and they went down 90% in the next 2 to 3 years. It's the strongest real estate like Manhattan. It's the strongest companies like Apple and Google that bubble up the most, and then they crash the most. So that's a huge misconception. People say, well, if you buy a high quality company like the stuff that Warren Buffett buys, or you're in Manhattan, the greatest city in the world, those are the things that go down the most. You'd be better to buy in Omaha and be better to buy some, you know, some unknown small cap stock that's boring.
Okay.
So that's the problem. Where there's the greatest gain, there's the greatest loss. The triggers, a number one thing I'll focus on, other than Italy, which is obvious, totally bankrupt, and their bonds yield less than ours do, which is crazy. Shows you how perverted the markets are. But we've been creating 200,000 jobs a month. We've been hiring back the people who lost their jobs in the Great Recession. Now we're at full employment, 4.1%. Our workforce is not growing precisely for what you said earlier. People aren't having babies. They're not having kids. They're too expensive in the modern world, in an urban world. And kids come out and 46, 47 years later will be contributing the most of the economy in their entire life. And the whole world is slowing down, especially Europe and Japan, because we're not having kids. And so we're not, there's no way to grow. Donald Trump, you know, poor guy, I hate to say it, I would have advised him not to run until 2020. He's coming in and saying, we're going to cut taxes and get 4% growth. I am saying this is not going to happen. We're going to hit a time in the next so many months where all of a sudden the jobs reports are going to say, oh, 50,000 instead of 200,000. And then the stock market's going to get it, that we are not in a growth cycle. We're in a decline cycle because of massive debt, slowing demographics due to aging. And that's just the reality I look at. Again, I don't create this, but people do create it. And all I do is study what people do predictably and then predict the economy based on that. And that's why we've been able to see things like the collapse of Japan before it happened and the great boom of the 90s and all this sort of stuff. We are in adverse trends. And the market's going to realize that one morning and wake up, and then it's going to be down 40% in a couple of months.
And the safe havens, you're saying high quality bonds, which are what?
10-year treasuries, 30-year treasuries, even better. Because I mean, if people want high dividend stocks, what if you can get a 3.5% yield on a 30-year treasury bond? And treasury bonds love falling inflation or deflation, whereas everything else doesn't like it. And again, the U.S. dollar has been the safe haven, not gold and silver. Everybody's saying buy gold and silver. It's the only real thing. Gold and silver are two of the biggest bubbles in the world, and they're crashing. And we've been saying this for years, and we've been right about this. Yeah. Gold is bouncing now. We're saying it's going to bounce. It's going to turn around. Next stop's going to be $700, and after that, $400. Then I'll buy gold.
I disagree with you because I wouldn't buy into a treasury. Why would I buy in a treasury when I don't believe that the United States government, when they're printing so much money?
Let me give you the best reason.
Real quick, I have 30 seconds.
We're the best house in a bad neighborhood. We're growing faster than Europe. Our demographics are less bad. Investment is more productive as measured by money velocity, one of the best indicators ever that nobody understands.
Yeah.
We're just the best house in a bad neighborhood. No, we're not doing the right things, but we're much less out of whack than Japan and Europe.
Harry Dent, Zero Hour is the name of the book. Get it and prepare yourself. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
GlennBeck.com has a new quiz up. Are you prepared? And if you take the quiz, we'll send you our ultimate preparedness guide. It tells you, it's a checklist that gives you everything that you need to do to be prepared. And it's good to have, at least get the checklist.
I don't think I have to take this quiz because
I think
very
you do.
Prepared.
I can't wait for you to take this. Okay, so there are five questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, what does your food supply look like? Leftovers in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Enough non-perishable food for 3 meals a day per person and a pet for 3 days to 2 weeks. A manual can opener and cooking utensils.
Okay.
Everything listed above with a heat source for cooking, such as a charcoal grill or camp stove.
Okay.
Wow. Everything listed above with enough non-perishable food for up to 6 months, including bulk items that can store for 2 years or longer.
I mean, here's the thing is my Patriot Supply has, I've purchased, you know, food.
So you have that?
I have the food, the cooking part of it. Now that I think about it, God, I took this quiz.
Yeah, see?
How am I going to cook any of that food?
Yeah.
Or, that's a good point.
The last one is everything listed above with enough non-perishable food for a year or more, the capacity to grow a garden and a supply of propane or other fuel safety stored for cooking and heating.
Yeah. So I'm, I guess I would say I am probably the
number two.
You're
going to do that?
Enough non-perishable food for a couple weeks. I mean, I have more than a couple weeks of food, but I have a propane grill.
Yeah, that will last you, you know,
until the propane
goes. So,
I'm a little, I'm limited here, but right. I'll do better on the other
ones. This one I had a hard time with. How much access to clean water do you have? Maybe an unfinished Slurpee in the car. 13 to 14 gallons per person. 3 to 14 gallons per person. 30 gallons per person and a pet. A water source and a water purification method.
Okay.
That doesn't include Brita. Everything listed above with enough water for up to 6 months stored for each person and a pet, or everything listed above with enough water for a year or more stored for each person and pet, plus a secure water supply for your retreat.
So I didn't need to get on the phone with my Patriot Supply today, but I would say 3 to 14 gallons per person. I do have some water storage. However, I don't have an ongoing water supply.
You don't have a well or anything?
I don't have a, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
All so right. three, I mean, but it's not, I have more than an unfinished Slurpee.
That's good. That's See? Good. That's good. What types of basic supplies do you have? I have a half-charged cell phone.
Got that.
Flashlight, extra batteries, portable radio, cell phone, and a charger.
I can do that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Everything listed above, plus candles or a lantern.
Oh, God. When you talk about candles, you're talking about Yankee candles, right?
They count.
Okay. If they count, I'm good.
A grab-and-go kit, form of self-defense, firearm, baseball bat, or a rolling pin, and capacity to generate off-grid heat and power. So a basic generator or basic solar.
I had all of them up to that one.
Oh, man, you are in trouble.
No,
dude.
I had all of them. I had the grab-and-go kit and the firearm and the matches and the candles.
So you're going to be cold. You'll be warming yourself.
We live in Texas.
And have you been around here in the winter?
Yeah.
Everything listed above, plus defensive firearms, handgun or shotgun, training, and ammunition. The last one is everything listed above, plus items to barter in the event of economic collapse. Gold, silver, aluminum. No, ammunition, I think aluminum. What?
A lot of people take foil in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Ammunition, tools, and clothing. A firearm for every willing adult and 1,000 rounds of ammunition for each firearm.
Now, I will say, to clarify here, while I might not have all those things locally, you live very close to me.
I will be gone so fast.
And you have all those things.
And the dogs will tear you apart at the gate. What medical and personnel and personal supplies do you have?
Hold on. I do have a generator.
You do?
I do. So right. I think I can get to the third one on that last one. I'm going back. I'm putting the third one in. That's right. I forgot about that. There we go. How about that?
All right.
In a real catastrophe, I would forget that I had it and it wouldn't do me any good, but I do have it.
You'd be, wait a minute. I think we do have it, Jim.
That's totally what would happen.
What medical and personal supplies do you have? A few Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm, got that.
A few basic first aid kits, extra blankets, extra set of clothing for each person, soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, wet wipes, feminine products, and diapers.
I think I'd be okay on that as long as you don't mind minions being on the Band-Aids. If that's okay.
That's fine. You know where everybody loses it is the feminine products.
I don't have any feminine products.
Yeah, well, that would be a problem.
I would assume my wife has those. That's really up to her.
I know a guy who has a year of feminine products for like 40 people. I mean, he's preparing not only for himself. He bought 1,500 army boots at a real discount because he knows... If his neighbor, if this happens, they're going to need shoes. I got them for $4 a piece. So he's just got them. Nobody even knows. He's got them in a warehouse. If something goes wrong, people are going to need shoes. He can provide shoes. I mean, it's crazy.
That is insane.
Yeah, this guy is.
He's on the fifth one of all these questions.
Everything listed above, plus prescriptions for a month, bug out spray, sleeping bags, shampoo, hairbrush,
bug
deodorant
spray, right? Bug out spray. bug out spray. I probably have
right
in the form of sprayable vodka.
An extra pair of glasses. The next one.
I mean, I think I can clear that hurdle. I think. Okay.
Everything listed above, plus a trauma-capable first aid supply for serious injuries that require stitching or suturing.
I'm going to read the last two. This one, I know.
Everything plus major first aid supplies, antibiotics, and basic surgical equipment. And potassium iodide tablets sufficient for 10 to 15 days per person.
I don't have all that stuff, but I do have an MRI machine I carry around with me at all times. So I don't know.
I don't think that's a basic.
Okay.
All right.
I just have that.
Loose change between the... So this, the last one is, what documents and currency do you have on hand? Loose change between the couch.
Now, wait a minute. Me announcing this is not a good preparedness step.
birth certificates, insurance cards, marriage license, immunization records, and contact info for key family members and friends.
Okay.
You have that one?
I think so, yeah.
Everything listed above, plus mortgage paperwork, car title, registration, cash on hand, house keys, car keys, and passports.
I mean, you know, it depends. Like, can I put that stuff together? Not all in the same place.
No, that's the point of being prepared. You have a freaking safe.
Right, like, and that's where a lot of it is, right? Well,
that's where it all should be, but all like, in one place. We have it in a Tupperware tub in a safe. We have everything we need in that tub.
Where do you put paperwork? The cookies?
In my tummy.
I'll say this. I think I can qualify for that one.
Everything listed
plus
above.
Plus the mortgage paperwork. What do I need that for? That I can tell everybody how much money I owe somebody else?
But everything listed above. You know why? You know why you need that? Because in places where this has happened before, gangs will come in and they will just say, that's my house. And you'll be like, that's my house. Mm-hmm. No, where's your certificate?
You know what I'll say to them? You make the payments. See you later.
there's no payments anymore. Oh, okay. Anyway, everything listed above, plus cash on hand to cover rent and housing for a month and household expenses, groceries and gas for a month. Everything listed above, plus gold, silver coins and rounds or bars.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm in the middle on that one, too. This is the problem, is I will say I'm maybe not as prepared as I had hoped, especially after talking to you for so many years.
So put in your email address and get the results. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.
You are?
Yeah, I'm a warrior.
I'm an average Joe.
You're an average
Joe?
Yes,
I thought it was going to be way worse than that.
Good for you. Now, if you take this, you'll get the whole list of preparedness. And so it has everything that Stu should do. But when the time comes, Stu will have that list in his safe someplace.
Uh-huh.
Or he will think, I think I put that in the safe, but mm-hmm. it won't be in his safe. Mm-hmm. It'll be someplace else that he will then go, wait a minute, I remember where that list was. Right.
You can mock me all you want, but I have plans. I mean, let's say you listen to the show, you like the show, and you've prepared, maybe you could tell me where you live, and then if something happens, my family can kind of come over and hang out.
You see my collection of guns and dogs?
Yeah, that's
true. No, you're not coming over. You can check that out at glenbeck.com, and we'll send that list out to you so you can be prepared and case anything goes on. Okay, I just said, 2 weeks ago, when is this going to go political? Well, Roy Moore. They went political with Roy Moore. Uh-oh. Now Al Franken is involved, and it's a bad one. So let's see if they treat Al Franken the same. We'll get into that here in a second. Tanya and I, I don't know if you're like this at all, but the last room of the house to get any attention is the bedroom. And so we bought the house and it came with these drapes and they were, oh my gosh, it honestly looked like Donald Trump had decorated the house. And so we needed to change that out. And finally, after 4 years of saying we're going to do it, we finally did it. And we went to Blinds.com. Now, this happened on a Saturday. I did a FaceTime session where they took pictures of the house. They superimposed the pictures of what we thought we wanted. and gave us a whole bunch of different options. And we're like, okay, I like that one. They transformed the room entirely with the best customer service we have ever had. And if you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, which Tanya may have, they will remake your blinds for free. They'll remake everything for free because they want to get it right. They'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks good and looks exactly the way you want it in person. You know, because you can't really tell sometimes online. Every order gets free shipping. Their prices are the best. And right now they're even better. You can find out why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window covering, because now through November 20th, you're going to save up to 40% off on everything when you go to Blinds.com. Plus, if you use the promo code BECK, you'll get an additional 5%. So that's 45% off everything at Blinds.com. Remember, use the promo code BECK. It's Blinds.com. There is never a better time to buy the windows, shutters, drapes, whatever you need. Now is the time. 45% off. Promo code BECK. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Alrighty. Well, it has begun. Because firing after Roy Moore, you're going to see now a fight from the right. And then the left is going to respond with another. I believe within 6 months, Mike Lee may be the only person left in Washington still with his credibility. It may just be Mike Lee going, is there anybody here?
It's going to be like that Kiefer Sutherland movie.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's going to have to resign.
And you know what Mike's response will be? Good, we can finally get things done. All right, so Al Franken is now been pulled into this, and it's a nasty one. In December 2006, I embarked on my 9th USO tour to entertain the troops, my 8th to the Milice since the 9/11 attacks. My father served in Vietnam. My then boyfriend, now husband Chris, is a pilot in the Air Force, so bringing a little piece of home to servicemen stationed far away for their families was both my passion and my privilege. On the trip, country music artists Daryl Worley, Mark Willis, Kenny Thomas, and some cheerleaders from the Dallas Cowboys. The headliner was comedian and now Senator Al Franken. Now, this is written by an anchor on KABC, and she's beautiful.
She's a former model, I believe, yeah.
Okay. As a TV host and sports broadcaster, as well as a model familiar to the audience from the covers of FHM, Maxim, and Playboy, I was expecting to MC and introduce the acts, but Franken said he had written a part for me that he thought would be funny, and I agreed to play along. When I saw the script, Franken had written a moment when his character comes at me for a kiss. I suspected what he was after, but I could figure I could turn my head at the last minute or put my hand over his mouth to get more laughs from the crowd. On the day of the show, Franken and I were alone backstage going over our lines one last time, and he said, we need to rehearse the kiss. I laughed and ignored him. Then he said it again. I said, relax, Al. This is an SNL. We don't need to rehearse the kiss. He continued to insist, and I was beginning to get uncomfortable. He repeated that actors really need to rehearse everything and that we must practice the kiss. I said, okay, so he would stop badgering me. We did the line leading up to the kiss, and he came at me. Put his hand in the back of my head, mashed his lips against mine, and aggressively stuck his tongue in my mouth. I immediately pushed him away with both of my hands against his chest and told him if he ever did that to me again, I wouldn't be so nice about it next time. I walked away. All I could think about was getting to the bathroom as fast as possible to rinse the taste of him out of my mouth. I felt disgusted and violated. Not long after, I performed the skit as written, carefully turning my head so he couldn't kiss me on the lips. No one saw what happened backstage, so I didn't tell the Sergeant Major of the Army, who was the sponsor of the tour. I didn't tell the USO rep what had happened, because at the time I didn't want to cause any trouble. We were in the middle of a war zone. It was the first show of our holiday tour. I was professional and I could take care of myself. I told a few others on the tour what Franken had done, and they knew how I felt about it. I tried to let it go, but I was angry. Other than the dialogue on stage, I never had a voluntary conversation with Al Franken again. I avoided him as much as possible and made sure I was never alone with him. Franken repaid me with petty insults, drawing little devil horns on at least one of the headshots I was autographing for the troops. But he didn't stop there. The tour wrapped up, and on Christmas Eve, we began the 36-hour trip home to L.A. After 2 weeks of grueling travel and performing, I was exhausted. When our C-17 cargo plane took off from Afghanistan, I immediately fell asleep, even though I was still wearing my flak vest and Kevlar helmet. It wasn't until I was back in the U.S. and looking through the CD of photos we were given by the photographer that I saw this one. And there's a picture of Al Franken groping her, putting his hands on her breast. You know, she's wearing a vest, but putting her hands, his hands on her vest while she's dead asleep. And he's looking at the camera like, waka waka. I couldn't believe it. He groped me without my consent while I was asleep. I felt violated all over again, embarrassed, belittled, humiliated. How dare anyone try to do that and think it's funny? I told my husband everything that happened and showed him the picture. I wanted to shout my story to the world with a megaphone to anybody who would listen. But even as angry as I was, I worried about the potential backlash and damage that the public might have on damaging my career as a broadcaster. It has begun.
Glenn Beck.
Chili butter steaks, spicy honey lime chicken tostadas, creamy tomato pasta. These are the sorts of, this is just coming up in a couple of weeks here, if you're on Blue Apron. Blue Apron sends these ingredients to make all of these meals and a lot more right to your home, and they make it super easy even for morons like myself. The food is incredible because you can make these great gourmet meals that I don't know, I could never make on my own. I have absolutely no ability to do something like that, but they make it super easy. And you can have this food that it can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, so it's not taking up your entire week. If they make it really easy, everything's pre-measured, no waste. It's fantastic. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. You love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. It's blueapron.com/stew. blueapron.com/stew. It's a better way to cook.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Republicans are now within striking distance of two big objectives: tax reform and finally putting a big dent into Obamacare. The GOP is set to approve their tax reform measure, which includes a repeal of the individual mandate, sometime later today. Margin of error is really small. Yesterday, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin announced he's going to be the first Republican to break off and vote no. Will anyone follow his lead? Now, the hours leading up to the vote are really crucial. You can almost hear the gears churning over at the White House Communications Department from all across the country. How can they improve the image? How can they be a little more relatable? And in the process, how can they improve their chances of scoring a big win on the Senate floor? The answer was so obvious to them. Deploy this Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, and his smoking hot actress wife for a super hot selfie with a bunch of sheets of cash. Public just won't know what hit them, right? It's going to be a PR coup, the likes of which would make even Mugabe recoil in fear. So that's what they did. He held up a giant sheet of crisp dollar bills that were the first to bear his signature, and his wife, standing next to him, gave a smoldering gaze at the camera. Dressed uncannily like Kylo Ren, she kind of looked ready to explode into a dark-size-fueled lightsaber frenzy. Hope Hicks must have sat back in her chair and propped up her feet and enjoyed this masterful work of communications art. The tax reform and individual mandate vote were as good as won now. The administration hasn't looked this slick since the president launched paper towel packages at gatherings of hurricane victims. That was another good one. The only thing that could have made this look better, maybe, is if Mnuchin would have made it rain the dollar bills, well, you know, while a hard bass hitting pop song rocked the house. Anyway, it's a win-win. Let's give the communications department their props. You crushed it. Game, set, match.
It's Thursday, November 16th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Even as I am sharing that story with you, the Democrats are literally walking in to the chamber with a giant poster of that picture doctored now that says, what is it, Republican scam?
Republican tax scam or GOP tax scam.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's funny because you're right. Obviously, it's a public relations disaster. And, you know, it's strange, though. It's not like the Obama Treasury secretaries were poor.
No.
Not at all.
Can I tell you something? Okay, so here's what actually happened. It's the first sheet of dollar bills with his signature on it.
Yeah.
Come on now. How cool is that? If you were the Treasury secretary, you wouldn't have your wife there. You wouldn't have your family there as the first bills came off the printing press with your name on it. And you would hold it up and you'd hold it up as a family and you'd be like, look.
I mean, that's okay. So cool. I would think it was cool.
Everybody rich. Right. Okay. We've gone from a nation. Now, think of this. We've gone from a nation to where having a job as the Treasury Secretary is a bad thing. Just having that job, you're a bad guy. Having that job, unless you were a poor guy, you're a doubly bad guy. If you were poor and could never make anything out of your life, and you were given that job because, I don't know, you were a new immigrant, and we just have a lottery to put you in as the Treasury right. Secretary, it's bad. If you earned it, it's bad. Then you have a beautiful wife. Okay, now she's a trophy wife. It is a beautiful wife and a happy marriage. And oh, look, they're together and they don't have any problems. And they're celebrating this beautiful day. No, it's a hot trophy wife.
There's no reason to believe she actually is a trophy wife.
Correct.
But
a hot trophy wife with this really evil, big, powerful millionaire businessman who is now the Treasury Secretary doing all kinds of bad things. And look at him laugh at the little people with this picture. That's what we've turned into.
What kind of crappy, evil, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge millionaire holds up a pack of ones when you're making that statement?
Right.
That is a terrible way to show how evilly rich you are. He's actually holding up a sheet that's worth like $18. Come on.
But here's where I can't connect them, Stu. Help me connect them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't understand our psychosis. We're schizophrenic. I don't even understand it. We hate the rich, right? We hate people who are successful.
Sure.
We hate people who are, you know, in positions of power. We hate the government. We hate somebody who has a smoking hot wife. We just don't trust them. We don't like them. Just get rid of them. That's all bad. Except when you watch the culture, those are all of the things that are glorified. The super rich housewife, you know, the Jenner family. What is it called? Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
The Kardashians. What the hell is that? If that's not glorification of everything that is ugly.
Everything that's rich and just material and you're right. We praise it constantly.
We praise it. The culture loves it. Except in real life, the culture hates it.
Oh, a lot of it has to do with if it's your guy or not, too. I mean, the left who hates rich people, who hates awful, disgusting shows of wealth, loved Barack Obama taking a picture of Michelle on the deck of a yacht with their iPad, showing I can't remember what ridiculous millionaire who owned the boat.
I think it was the guy from Microsoft, wasn't it?
They loved it.
Loved it.
They loved it. It was such a wonderful, heartwarming moment because they like them. Again, it's all about teams here.
Yeah.
And that's
George Soros. They hate the Koch brothers, but George Soros is far more influential, and they love him. He looks like the evil emperor. He looks like it. Good. Your friends are here now to rescue exactly as my plan is unfolding. I mean, come on.
It's a very strange thing that we've done because we've taken this thing. We all understand when there's bad PR, right? We all understand that. You do things and you don't want the optics to look bad is the kind of the way we say that now. And the optics are one thing that we should notice because people will get the wrong impression over an event. Like, the optics of Steve Mnuchin standing there with a bunch of money with his wife with the fancy gloves on is a bad, they're bad optics. You should try not to let those things happen, though they happen sometimes. There's just nothing you can do about it. But we used to take the additional step to say, yeah, that looks bad. But in reality, if you were that person in that position, would you not take that photo?
Of course you would.
Would you not stand there with your wife after you've accomplished all this in your life?
Of course you would.
Your name, your signature is on currency.
Your name is on the money. You're not supposed to have a moment and go, this is cool.
This is awesome.
Right.
Wow, this is great. You're not allowed to have that moment because of the optics. And we know that moment is 100% human. Every human being in that position would want to have that photo taken. And we still torture them, even though we know that. I mean, it's such a, you're right. It's that thing of being, I don't know if it's teams or if it's being jealous or some combination of the two, but it's like, we used to have this thing where we called, keeping up with the Joneses. And it was looked at as a bad thing. You didn't want to try to chase the wealth of everybody else. Who cares if they have a bigger house than you? Who cares about that? And that is now turned to income inequality, where keeping up with the Joneses is exactly the same thing. We're all allowed to now say that the people who have more than us shouldn't have that. We should have as much as them, whether we accomplish those things or not. And we have just turned all of these things that we used to really believe as principles, as foundational beliefs, and turned them upside down, rebranded them, and now it means the exact opposite, and nobody cares.
And yet, no.
Yeah, no,
I mean, I wish I could say that we were consistent in that,
yeah?
But we're not.
Okay. So it's worse than I'm.
It's worse than that.
I'm surprised.
Because what we've done is we've taken it and we've turned it upside down. But then if it's your guy, you're fine with it. If it's not your guy, it's the most evil thing ever. It's as if we still know, but we have a carve out for us. You know, I am going to carve this out because, hey, look, you know, right now, everybody within the sound of my voice who is conservative is going, Al Franken. They got Al Franken. Okay?
Yeah.
Because there's just this news that just came out today about Al Franken. Looks like bad sexual harassment with him. Really compelling story.
He's put out a statement now, by the way.
What is he
I certainly
said?
Don't remember the rehearsal for that skit in the same way, but I send my sincerest apologies to Leanne. As to the photo, it was clearly intended to be funny, but it wasn't. I shouldn't have done it. That's a statement.
Okay.
So so you know, he's on record now admitting all, you know, yeah, at least that some of this stuff went on.
But he doesn't remember that going the way.
Right. So. And there's
he
no
said,
way to prove
said.
That. But
no
can
way.
You imagine if Roy Moore had a photo of himself putting his hands on the boobs of,
oh, we're gonna
of
know.
Some 16-year-old
from back
in the day? We're going
to know who is actually legitimately... Who cares about this stuff? Because that's just as bad as the guy from Amazon that was fired. Remember, he was in a taxi. He just said, you know, you and I would be great together. We should knock some boots. And he was fired for it. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And Al Franken can do this? Can Al Franken get away with it?
And he may. There's a new poll that just came out, and this goes to the team aspect. Bill Clinton, do you find the sexual harassment against
it's not
him?
Sexual harassment. It was rape. Rape. Bill Clinton was a rapist, allegedly.
Yeah, no, that's
rape.
True. That's true, and that's a fair distinction. This is a HuffPo poll, so they worded it as a number of women have accused Bill Clinton of sexual harassment, sexual assault. Do you think these assertions generally are or are not credible? Donald Trump voters, 84% find them credible. Hillary Clinton voters, 53% find them credible. So a 31-point gap. Now, remember, that is decades-old allegation.
Hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. 53% of those who voted for his wife.
And putting him back in the White House.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, put him back in. Yeah. 53% said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a derp. He probably raped her.
Remember that number when someone says, accuses you of only voting for your guy and not caring what they do. I mean, 53% of Hillary Clinton voters said they voted for Hillary even knowing that Bill Clinton did this. Now, again, it's a different person, and it's older. So I think that number, if you would have taken that immediately after Bill Clinton was, these allegations came out, it would have been a lot more stark than that. That's an old one. Like, they've come a long way to get to 53% on the Donald Trump one. Because remember, Donald Trump, right before the election, was accused by Gloria Allred and a bunch of others of the same poll there. Hillary Clinton voters, 83% find them, find them credible. And I will say, there's even a wider split here. Recency is part of this, I think. But Donald Trump voters, 6%. So it's 83-6 with Donald Trump. On Hillary, it's 84-53.
Well, at least they're consistent. At least it's only 6%. Like, yep, he was grabbing her every day, and I love America. At least it's only 6% on the Donald Trump side.
Yeah, because you'd think if you're voting for the guy, you would probably want him to be innocent of the sexual assault.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, but the liberals are like, whatever.
No, the line there is that they weren't voting for Bill, I guess, would be their defense there. I mean,
no,
yes.
they just voted for the woman who destroyed the women.
That's true.
Who were making the accusations.
That's fair. It's a fair.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Yeah, fair is probably a good word for that.
By the way, Harvey Weinstein, not looking good these days, because Donald Trump voters, 74% find the allegations against Harvey Weinstein credible. Pretty high. Hillary Clinton voters, remember, he was a Hillary Clinton supporter. 81% find it credible.
My God.
He's actually worse among Democrats than Republicans. That's the only one.
Hey. E pluribus unum. We found a unum. We
agree on Harvey Weinstein being a dirtbag.
Yes.
Yay.
We got to start someplace. That business trip that you're about to book, book it at Upside.com, and they're going to give you the two best gifts anyone will give you this holiday season. And the first one is a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. And the second is the gift of a better business travel experience. Only Upside has customer service specialists who look out for you every step of the way on your business trip, handling any problem that might pop up. Their team is hard at work 24/7, making sure that your flight, your hotel, your rental car all go off without a hitch. It's like having a concierge or an assistant that is available, on demand by chat, phone, email, whenever you need them. Only Upside monitors your business trip around the clock proactively, keeping you posted on everything from weather in the city that you're going to, changing your flight at home so you can adjust your meeting schedule, whatever it is. Have you ever experienced that level of service before on a business app or a business trip? No. All that, plus Upside has great prices for flights and hotels and rental cars. Upside navigators are instantly accessible 24/7. They reach out to you before a problem even happens. I want you to get your free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Book your first business trip at Upside.com/Beck. It's Upside.com/Beck. And claim your Bose SoundLink wireless headphones just for trying Upside. One more way that Upside is looking out for you and helping reduce the stress of business travel. It's Upside.com, promo code Beck. Minimum purchases required. See site for complete details.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Mercury One is having our big gala and auction this Saturday night. You can find out all about it at mercuryone.org/M1ball. Click on the auction site because you're going to see a couple of things. There are a few things that are available for you to bid on. Is Dinner for Four with Glenn and Tanya and Chuck and Gina Norris. We're having dinner together Friday, and we're going to be auctioning off, you know, a chance for you to join us on Saturday on another occasion. 7-night vacation home at the St. Regis in Aspen. We have some really cool things. A photograph made from the original Abraham Lincoln negative. This is a negative that they say is the most important picture of Abraham Lincoln. Mercury has the negative of it, the glass plate. Even the National Archives thought this was lost, and it is the most important photograph, they say, of Abraham Lincoln. It's the picture that he won the election on because of this picture.
Paintings also, the paintings that I have done of the three people that brought down the Berlin Wall. I did a painting of Pope John Paul, Ronald Reagan, and Margaret Thatcher. And they're going to be up for sale at this auction. And you can join the auction online in advance, and you can find out all about it. If you're not going to be able to be there, you can bid on any of this, and we sure would appreciate it because we'd really like to help raise some money for Mercury One. You can go to mercuryone.org/M1ball. There's also this for sale. This is actually mine. I bought this at an auction for Chuck Norris for his charity. Chuck, you know you're somebody when you can go to Colt and have them make a Colt with your face on it.
Holy crap.
This is a Chuck Norris edition Colt. It is beautiful. I mean, it's all engraved in gold, and it is just beautiful. Really beautiful.
Wow, it's really cool.
And you can get that. I think there's only one of 50 or one of 100. There's not very many of them made.
Says to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but also dream, not only plan, but also believe.
Chuck
and then
Norris.
You get to shoot someone.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be shooting that gun.
No?
No.
Oh, there's another thing on the other side.
There's another thing on the other side?
It says,
get out of my way, I'm Chuck Norris.
I want violent crimes curbed, but not at the expense of our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
That's actually why you have a constitution, so people can't do that.
Beautiful 1911 by Colt. The Chuck Norris edition, and you can get it from Chuck himself on Saturday, and just go to mercuryone.org/M1ball. And by the way, if you can't make it or you don't see anything here, you want to buy an auction or whatever, grab a lottery ticket or
a raffle ticket. They had the raffle tickets for the GMC truck, and I guess there's a cash option for that too. So if you're like, oh, I just bought a new truck, or I have a car and I don't want a truck. You can instead take a bunch of cash, which I think everybody wants.
I think so, too.
So that's so available too, as well. You go to mercuryone.org, and you can buy a raffle ticket there.
Pat Gray coming up in just a second. Also, the Tesla killer. Something that Elon Musk had to read today and go, oh, crap. Next.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, do you remember Fisker, the name Fisker? It was the world's first plug-in hybrid electric car from 2008. And then it had a legal spat with Elon Musk and Tesla. Shortly after that, 2012, company crashed and burned in bankruptcy. Well, Henrik Fisker decided he was going to relaunch his brand, and Elon Musk was like, so one failure is not enough for you. So during the relaunch, he made a shocking comment that caught the attention of Elon Musk. And he said, I've just had a breakthrough in battery technology using graphene based hybrid material that will revolutionize battery storage and make Elon Musk's batteries obsolete. And the world laughed. 13 months later, as Musk is writing off his claims and starting to do things like his boring company, he dismissed it, and it may be a final flaw because Fisk has just come out and announced, listen to this, the new Fisker battery, 2.5 times density, 500 miles per charge, and charges in 1 minute.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge game changer.
It is a game changer.
Yeah. Wow.
That means that the Gigafactory, which has the thin film lithium batteries that Elon Musk has just spent, I don't know how much, obsolete. Obsolete.
Has that been verified?
Is it? I've seen it in several sources, auto industry news, and I don't know if anybody has actually seen the battery yet, but the way he's describing it, scientists are saying that, yes, that it makes sense, but it's, we'll have to see it actually
demonstrated. Makes it completely viable now. completely viable.
Yeah. Yeah. And they say that it, this will be able to be sold on a mass scale by 2023.
Wow.
That's bad. Once you figure out the battery thing, that solves solar panels. That solves absolutely everything. And this also should show you how fast the world is changing. Here's Elon Musk building a gigawatt factory. So he is pouring all of his money in high tech, state of the art, not even on the market yet kind of batteries. He builds this whole thing and somebody comes out and goes, yep, that was yesterday's news. Holy cow, things are changing fast. So we have Pat Gray in from Pat Gray Unleashed. I'm sorry to hear, Pat, that you did not get the Leonardo da Vinci painting last night. I know
tried
you
tried real hard. I know. I was with him for a while.
Yeah. You had $45, right? $45.
$45.
$45.
It was my initial bid. And yeah. Somebody passed me up. I couldn't believe it.
You didn't up the bid at all?
I thought that was going to stick. I was willing to go as high as $50.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that also was passed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
On the opening bid, it was passed.
Pretty
so
amazing
he was out
that,
fast.
That there are people saying that's not even an actual Leonardo da Vinci.
Have you read the case against it?
Yeah. It was solid.
I mean,
I don't know anything about art but it sounded solid.
It seems really solid. And on top of it, the best case scenario is it's not really him. It's like an art student and he just helped draw the ringlets of the hair. That's not an art. That's not a $450 million dollar Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, it's about a $50. And that's why
I
had a shot.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why the price didn't go to $2 billion like some people thought it might.
Yeah.
Can you imagine paying $2 billion for a painting?
How much did, what do you call it, the Codex? That's Leonardo da Vinci, and Bill Gates owns the Codex.
Wow.
You know, that's the guy in the rings, the map of the man.
Right.
Is there a more famous painting?
Probably not.
On Earth than
maybe Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, which is his, or The Last Supper, which is his.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bill Gates owns the original of that.
Well, this was a record, right? So it didn't go for...
No, it didn't go for that.
Yeah.
And you know that one is his.
Right.
This one is like, he might have done one of the ringlets. So what's on your plate today?
Well, originally I wasn't going to say anything about this. But in 1983...
Oh, boy.
No, no.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Roy Moore showed up naked in my kitchen, covered from head to toe in spaghetti sauce.
Really?
Now,
I'd gotten up to make myself a sandwich, so I wasn't facing his direction. He sneaked up behind me and grabbed my buttocks. Just a pinch. It wasn't a pinch. Mm. It was a full fist, full hand grab. He had my entire buttocks.
And there's a lot to grab there.
There's a lot to grab. Right. And he grabbed it all.
Right. Now, did he have spaghetti sauce? So did he leave a fingerprint
on you?
He
did. Yes, there was spaghetti sauce on my jammies. And I was startled at first, but I didn't say anything to him.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt uncomfortable. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Roy's here.
Naked.
Naked in Salt Lake City, Utah. And
covered in spaghetti sauce.
Yeah. And finally, he asked me, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm a DA. You're just a DJ. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to believe you.
No one's going to believe you. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you right now, for example.
Wow.
Yeah. I sound awful.
I still don't.
We're pretty good friends.
Yeah, right.
I still don't.
I've known you my whole life.
That's why
I finally said, well, maybe nobody will believe me, Roy.
Right.
But what really pisses me off is that was my last stinking jar of Ragu. And I am pissed.
So, he also used your spaghetti sauce.
My spaghetti sauce. He went into the pantry and actually used my spaghetti sauce. So then he just kind of got dressed and left. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything about it. I didn't tell anybody. Until you guys just now.
Did he shower?
Can I spaghetti sauce off?
He dressed with the spaghetti sauce.
So somewhere there's some soiled clothes with Ragu all over them.
But he knows Pat is a sucker for Ragu.
Right.
So,
yes.
Really?
Yeah, he's a sucker for that.
Is he?
He's like, yeah.
For Ragu?
Oh, he'll lick it off any hairy chest.
Yes.
Really?
Sure. I'm not proud.
Yeah.
Why not?
When he's hungry in the middle of the night, he's hungry. So let me tell you this. This is a true story. And you know this is true because you were there. This is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
I met Elle McPherson. Remember when we met Elle McPherson?
I do.
Okay.
That's something I don't think either of us will ever forget.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And I do want to tell you that I went up to Elle McPherson, and I said hello, and she said hello. I felt a little uncomfortable, so I left, and I haven't told this story to anyone.
Including me, and I was there.
Yeah, you were there. And
yeah.
I felt a little uncomfortable.
Right.
Because she was so stunningly beautiful, and I knew I didn't have a shot.
Right.
But it made me uncomfortable, and I just want to come out and say this now, that I shouldn't have been made to feel uncomfortable by her.
No, that's very true. You know, she shouldn't do movies anymore. I will not go to an Elle McPherson movie.
I don't think she's in the movies.
Well, if she does, I won't be attending it.
Wow.
That's how strongly I feel about it.
And you believe me.
Of course I believe
you.
Yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
I felt
and remember
I
told you, after that I didn't tell you that I felt uncomfortable,
no.
But I told you how unbelievably beautiful she was.
Yes. Yeah. You did tell me that.
Yeah.
I do remember that part.
Yes. Right.
And we couldn't believe that a human being could actually look that good.
But there was nothing that happened.
No. Nobody touched anybody. I don't even know if we shook hands with her. I don't think there was any physical contact
whatsoever. No, I think I said hi.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And she said hi.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That sounds like a lie. She would not respond to you.
Right. Well, no. What's her name? From Alias. We had a conversation.
Jennifer Garner.
We had an actual conversation. Two of them.
Did you feel uncomfortable then, too, and leave? Did you feel uncomfortable there as well?
No, my wife might have felt a little uncomfortable, and she was like, okay, let's go. Come on. So, but that's a different story. I don't really know.
What do we make of this Roy Moore thing? I mean, he's down by 12 points now, according to polls.
That's and that's an internal NRSC poll. So that is a poll that you could speculate. I'm not going to say, you could speculate then Republicans are leaking that to make him feel like he should drop out.
I will tell you, I would not be surprised if Alabama just said,
Screw you,
get the hell out of our state. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I could see this as just something that is not even about Moore anymore. It would just be about shut up, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean? This is our vote, not yours. I think there's a chance that
he wins.
That he wins.
I read this from Sean Trendy earlier. Tell me if you think this is true. This is Sean Trendy. He was on the show before. He's an elections analyst for Real Clear Politics. This is what he said. I don't think you can underestimate the degree to which many conservatives have this attitude. A, we fought a battle over whether character counts and got our asses handed to us. And B, liberal leaders always circle the wagons around their guys and ours always cave. I think that is
both of
those things very true, particularly the second part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very true among a lot of people who, you know, they feel confused over whether Roy Moore did these things or not, but they're just so sick of being beaten around. They're sick of Democrats always winning these battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care whether I have no way of proving it. I think if you showed photos like, you know, Al Franken, if you showed photos, people might be moved on it. There's a certain level of evidence that would move people like this. But they're just like, if you can't show me legitimate proof and you waited 40 years to tell me about it, I'm sorry. No,
we did a Twitter poll and it was 60-40 in favor of him.
It's closer than I would have maybe even expected.
Yeah. I was thinking 80-20 or something, because I think a lot of Republicans have now thrown the character thing out the window. I don't think it matters to them. I think they've decided, like he said, we fought that battle, we lost. Okay, so I agree with you now. Character doesn't matter. I'm going to vote for who I want.
Character matters is sort of like the conservatives' Fourth Amendment. We don't really take it that seriously anymore. It's kind of like that old thing we used to say. We used to say no search and seizure. Come on.
There was another poll we were just talking about the other day, and it was with conservatives, with religious conservatives, on if a person commits adultery during their campaign or whatever.
If they commit an immoral act in their private life.
That's what it was. It wasn't specific immoral. Yeah.
Immoral act in their private life. Can they still be a moral person in their public life?
And 20 years ago, it was no by about 75-25.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's yes by about the same margin. Yeah, if they can have those moral issues.
And so I think
it's completely flipped.
I honestly think that is the attitude of some that will vote for Roy Moore, and they'll feel justified doing it.
Yeah.
Some is get the hell out of our state.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is, I think that, and I could be wrong, but I think that in Alabama back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was a different world. And I think there's going to be people who say, I believe he was dating younger girls. And I mean, 16, 17, 18 year old girls. And he was freaky on that. But it was a different time. And because he's not denying any of that. And he talked to their moms. He talked to their moms, which shows that it wasn't creepy back then in the South. It was something that could be done. And he would introduce himself to the mom, and I want to take your... What would you say if a 32-year-old man came in and wanted to date your 16, 17-year-old daughter?
Introduce him to my AR-15.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were fine with it. They were fine with it. And I think he's got this legalistic view of here are the boundaries, because the one that doesn't fit is the 14-year-old. However, I tend to believe that one, because when he touched her, it was over her clothes, and she said, I'm uncomfortable, and he then said, okay, I'll take you home. And then that was it. You'll notice the pattern is he dates them or does something, but it's not more than touching.
Mm-hmm. He does have a boundary.
He has this weird boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only one that doesn't fit is the Gloria Allred one. There's no boundary there. He tried to rape me. Well, that's not consistent with everything else.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's an outlier.
Yes.
And that's why. And that one with the yearbook, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that, you know, the yearbook legitimately, one side is cursive, one side is printed. Pat and I were talking about this off the air as well. It's like, I've never in my life seen a grown man make an E bubble writing, like a teenager wrote it.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there are doubts on the Allred one, but you could throw that out and still get here. The other part about this is, because Roy Moore comes out and they're going after Roy Moore. And now Al Franken's thing comes out. They're not going to let Al Franken just die on this vine. The Democrats are not going. This is just the beginning of this is like the trade war. It's like the first like volley in a war, and it's going to go back and forth, and there's going to be tons of accusations that come out.
This is the purge. This is the movie The Purge without the violence. They're just going to purge everybody. And how many men that are titans and people on Capitol Hill that are right now going, oh, dear God.
Oh, crap.
It's coming.
A lot.
A lot. If you want to protect your home this holiday season, listen up. Right now, you have early access to Simply Safe's biggest Black Friday sale ever. $200 off Simply Safe's holiday security system. It's a bestseller 13-piece arsenal that covers your entire home. If you want to protect your family, this is the way you should do it. It's Simply Safe. Everything is really easy. You order it online. It's delivered right to your front door with free shipping. It takes less than an hour to set up. Simply Safe has no long-term contract, no pushy salespeople, no hidden fees. They're not trying to upsell you on anything. And the prices are honest and fair. It's $15 a month for the best in industry. 24/7 alarm monitoring. What else do you need? Simply Safe. You're never locked in. You own the system, and you're never locked in. Visit simplysafebeck.com. Get $200 off your system now. I haven't seen that happen before. That offer ends soon. Simplysafebeck.com. Get an amazing $200 off your home security system at simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Tonight, 5 o'clock only on the Blaze TV, we are going to give you the news from our perspective, help you make sense of the world, and the last installment on what is Antifa. Some information that you really need to know and use and spread. What is Antifa? Part 4 tonight, Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck.